I'm going to direct your attention back to just one verse that we read a moment ago, Acts chapter 17, verse 11, where the Bible says this: "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." I speak on the subject this morning, more noble, from the two words that there where it talks about the people in Berea being more noble than those in Thessalonica. Paul and Silas had gone into Thessalonica. I'm not sure how you say that, something like that. They'd gone into that city and they'd preached Jesus. It says here in the early part of verse 17, or chapter 17, that they went into the synagogue, as was their manner, and for three Sabbath days they reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So Paul and Silas went into the Jewish synagogue. They opened the Word of God, and they preached that Jesus was the Messiah, that he had to die according to God's plan. And the Bible says there, many of them believed. But the Jewish leaders did not like that. The Jewish leaders were still looking for the Messiah to come. They did not acknowledge that Jesus was a Messiah. And so when Paul and Silas preached this, they got envious. They got jealous. By the way, that's why they led to the death of Christ. I mean, it was God's plan that Jesus was going to die, but he used envy of the Jews to take him to the cross. And the Bible says that the city was set in an uproar. The Jewish leaders went to the rulers and they said, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." And the crime they accused Paul and Silas of was lifting up another king. And so they went to the Roman authorities and saying, "Hey, these men are recommending that we serve another emperor than Caesar. You need to take care of them. You need to have them quit preaching this heresy. You need to get rid of them." Well, the believers in Thessalonica sent away Paul and Silas, and they went to this city called Berea. Now, when they went, they did the same thing. They opened the scriptures. They preached Jesus, that he was the Messiah. They preached his death, burial, and his resurrection for the way to get right with God. And the Bible says, and Paul pays the people in Berea a compliment when he says, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, that word noble comes from a Greek word. Now, lest anybody think I know a lot of Greek, I don't know too much Greek. Only Greek I know is what I read in books, and I do it one word at a time. Okay? Like I type one letter at a time, I do Greek one word at a time. I find a Greek word, I look at what it says, and I ask the Lord to speak to me about what it says. That's what he did about this word. That word noble comes from the Greek word eugenes. Not that Eugene, but eugenes, spelled the same way, E-U-G-E-N-E-S. It means well-born. The folks in Berea were more well-born than the folks in Thessalonica. Now, that Greek word, eugenes, is where we get our English word eugenics. Eugenics is the practice of breeding to produce highly favored offspring. So Jacob practiced eugenics with his father-in-law's sheep and goats. Remember, he bred them together so they produce a strong offspring. People do it with flowers. Washington Carver did it with sweet potatoes. Hitler tried to do it with people, and it didn't work. All of us should try to be noble. All of us should try to be more well born. Now, there are some parts of the world that you are born into nobility. If you, for example, in England, they have a queen, and people born in her family are noble. In Japan, they have an emperor, and you are born into nobility if you are descended from the emperor in Japan. But all of us that live in America, since we do not have nobility here, our nobility comes, and this is the way the word is used here in Acts chapter 17, our nobility comes based on what we do after we're born, okay? People, for example, people say Abraham Lincoln was well born, not because he was born into a noble family, but because of what he did after he was born. One of the wonderful things about the country in which we live is that we have no nobility, and so everybody has the same opportunity. Everybody has the same opportunity to be more well-born by what they do after they're born as opposed to just being born into it. Now, I'm going to tell you what the people in Berea did that made them more well-born than the people in Thessalonica. But before I do that, I want you to understand when I say well-born, I'm not talking about being born physically. I'm talking about being born spiritually. I'm talking about being born again. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 3. He was talking to Nicodemus at night, and he said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And Nicodemus, in questioning Jesus, well, how can I have this second birth? How can I be born again? I can't enter again into my mother's womb and be born the second time. How do I get this rebirth, this born again that you're talking about? And Jesus said this, and I'm so glad that Nicodemus asked that question. What we would have missed if Nicodemus hadn't asked that question. Because here was Jesus' reply. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's the kind of birth I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the physical birth. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. All of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if we got what we deserve as sinners, we would be separated from God forever. That's what we deserve as sinners. But God loved us so much, not when we cleaned up our act, not when we got better, not when we turned over a new leaf, but God loved us so much when we were sinners that he sent his Son to pay the price for our sin. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived 33 some years on this earth, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then God allowed mankind to take him, nail him to a cross. And as Jesus hung on the cross, God put on him every one of our sins. Jesus paid the price for our sins. And because he paid the price for our sin, he's able to offer to every person a gift. Amen. And that gift is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so when these people were more noble than those in Thessalonica, meaning they were more well-born, I'm talking about being born again. What did they do to be more well-born? Well, there were three things they did spelled out there in verse 11. Number one, they received the word. They received the word of God. They received the Bible. They received the message that Paul and Silas spoke to them. I used to be envious of people in the Bible that God actually spoke to. I used to be envious of people like Samuel and of people like Noah and of people like Abraham and of people like David who God actually spoke to. But then I realized God's speaking to me. Everything that God wants me to know, he's already told me. He's put it in this book. And I can open this book and I can see the very words of God. I can read the very words of God. I can have the very words of God that he wants me to have. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If that's true, and it is, then in order for me to live, I've got to have the words of God. That's what this book is. It is the word of God. And these people were more noble, they were more well-born, because when Paul and Silas preached the word, and they preached all the prophecies about the Messiah coming, and they showed how Jesus met those prophecies, and how Jesus was the Son of God, they received that word. One day in heaven, I think we're going to be accountable for all the time we've wasted debating about the inspiration of the Bible. One day in heaven, I think we're going to have to give an account for all the time that we spent and the energies that we've wasted debating over whether the Bible is the Word of God or not, whether the Bible contains the Word of God, whether the Bible contains the thoughts of God. Let's just get it straight this morning. This book is the Word of God. It's the Word that he wants us to have. And by the way, I'm holding the King James Bible this morning. That's the word. I believe that's the version that he has preserved down through the ages that he wants us to have. And I believe I have the very words of God in my hand this morning that I can read anytime I want. I can pick it up and I can hear from God any time of day. These people were more noble in that they received the word of God. Number two, with all readiness of mind. Their mind was open to it. You see, in Thessalonica, they did not have an open mind. Some of them did. Some of them had an open mind and they got saved. But many of, especially the rulers, they did not have an open mind. Jesus could not be the Messiah. He did not fit into the picture they had of the Messiah. He did not fit in to what they expected from the Messiah. And so they said, oh no, this Jesus of Nazareth can't be the one. But these people at Berea, they had an open mind. They listened as Paul and Silas reasoned to them out of the Word of God. And they received it. They took it. If we're going to be more well-born, we not only have to receive the Word of God, we have to have a mind. We have to have readiness of mind to receive it. Now, what that means is a mind uncluttered with things of the world. So many times we fill up, you know, our minds only have certain capacities. There's only so many little electrons running around up there. There's only so much stuff that we can store. If I store too many things of the world, I'm leaving less room for the things of God. Let me just give you an example, practical example. I know most of your first names. I mean, I have to work at it. I got a little list that's in my Bible now because it gets wet when I put it in my pocket. But I work at learning your first names. Some of you, I have no idea what your last name is. I only have a certain amount of gray matter up here. And if I fill it up with first and last names, I'll have less space to remember first names. So I have decided that I'm going to remember first names, and if somebody asks me what your last name is, I'll have to ask you. I'll find out one way or the other, but I can't recall from memory many of your last names. It's the same thing. If I fill my mind up with things of the world, there's going to be less room for things of God. That's why I want to fill my mind, and you ought to want to fill your mind with this book, with things of God. For example, I heard on the radio this morning that the Cubs lost to the Indians last night in the, I don't even know what game it was, of the World Series. I didn't even know the World Series was going on. I mean, if the Tigers are not there, I don't care, and I haven't had to care for a long time. But anyhow, I don't... You know, I know about the World Series, but I had no idea who was playing. And again, I'm not saying that those things are wrong. I'm just saying when we have to make a choice, when we have to decide what we're going to fill our brain up with, let's fill them up with the things of God. They had a readiness of mind. I think that means they had a fresh mind. I think they came expecting to hear from God, and they didn't come as a second thought. They came as a first thought. They came to hear the word of God from Paul and Silas. They had a readiness of mind, and a mind that was thinking about what was going on. I mean, most of them were Jews. They'd read the scripture. They'd heard the prophecy. And when Paul and Silas stood and preached Christ and said, hey, he's the one that's fulfilled the prophecy. He's the Messiah. He died. He rose again. He offers the gift of life to every person. They said, I believe that. I believe that. But they did something else that made them more noble. They did something else that made them more well-born spiritually. They searched the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily. They took the word of God as they had it, the Old Testament at that point. And they heard Paul and Silas go back to the book of Isaiah. They heard Paul and Silas go back to the prophecy that's in the Old Testament. And they said, hey, we heard these preachers say this. I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go read my Bible. I'm going to go see if what they're telling me is true. They just didn't take their word for it. And by the way, I don't want you to ever just take my word for something. If I say something, I want you to take this book and search it out. I want you to find out for yourself. I want you to prove it from this book. And that's what they did. So they heard, they received the word of God with a readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures, and then they said, you know what? What they're saying is right. What they're saying is true. What they're saying is consistent with the prophecy in the Old Testament. What they're saying about Jesus Christ must be true. Amen. It must be true. And so they received him. They received Christ as their Savior. They were born again. And they were more well-born because they listened to the Word of God with a readiness of mind, searched the Scriptures, came to the conclusion that Jesus was exactly who He said He was, and then asked Jesus to be their Savior. Now, if you're saved this morning, that's exactly what you did. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Somebody took the Bible. Maybe it wasn't the Bible itself. Maybe it was a tract that contained Bible verses. Maybe it was the Romans Road that they quoted to you from memory. But they took the Bible. They told you that you were a sinner. They told you there was a penalty for that sin. They told you Jesus paid the penalty. You heard the Word of God. You had an open mind to it. And you searched it out. You thought about it. And then you received Christ. If you're a Christian here this morning, that's exactly how you got saved. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, that's exactly what you need to do right now. Let me tell you, that book says you're a sinner. That book tells me that you have a penalty that you owe for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God forever. That book tells me that Jesus paid that penalty, and that book tells me that if you'll receive him, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you'll do that this morning, he'll save you. If you do that, if you'll do that this morning, he'll wash away all of your sins. That's how you get saved. But by the way, let me take it a step further, since most of us here are Christians. That's how we need to live the Christian life. Hey, huh? You think you're done with the Bible when you get saved? Oh no, you're just getting started. That word, that book is our owner's manual. That book tells us how to live. There's not a situation in life that book doesn't cover. I mean, you can go back to my office and you can see all sorts of books about different things. You know, the only book, that's a book I use. I hardly ever use any of those books. I mean, some of you have used the books in my library more than I have. That's a book I stay in because it's got all the answers. It's got all the truth. It's got what we need in every situation of life. How do we live our life? We receive the Word of God with a ready mind and search it daily. We search it daily. That's how we ought to live our life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If I'm going to live my life in a way that's pleasing to God, I want to live it by his word. This is his word. It's the only place I'm going to find it, in this book. And they were more noble. They were more well-born than those in Thessalonica. Thessalonica heard the word, but they rejected it. Their mind was closed. They didn't search it out. But these were more well-born because they did. Now, let me ask you this morning. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Look, there's not a sane person alive that would want to spend eternity in hell. And yet, all those that have rejected and never received Christ, that's where you're going to spend eternity, in that place called hell. A place prepared for Satan and his demons. Not for mankind, but that's where God's going to send us. Why would you place your eternal destiny on anything else other than what God says to place it on? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that this morning? If not, I invite you to do it. You're a sinner. A penalty for your sin that Jesus paid. And if you'll receive him, he offers to you the gift of life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it makes it so clear about our sin and the penalty for our sin. It makes it so clear about what Christ did to pay for it. And I'm so glad you loved us when we were still sinners. I'm glad you didn't wait till we deserved it, because, Father, we'd never deserve it. Never, ever. But you loved us when we were sinners. And you sent the most precious one in heaven to take our place, die on the cross for our sins. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never received Christ, I pray that you would just make it clear to them this morning that their eternity hinges on what they do with Jesus Christ. And I pray that they would come, receive him, make him their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, help us to realize that what we have in our Bibles is your word. What we have in our Bibles is the manual for our lives. What we have in our Bibles is the answer to any question of life that we may have. Help us to receive it as the word of God with a readiness of mind, searching it daily. Help that to be our practice. Please bless this time of invitation. If there's folks that need to be saved, help them to come. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to come for baptism. Maybe you're directing somebody here to join the church. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd make your direction clear, and then we would be obedient to that direction. So I just ask you to bless this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.